Welcome to You Meet Them, everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. Welcome to the Wonderland Ballroom. We did it. Yay. Put your hands together for the idea of living. We are doing it together live. Yeah. Speaking of living, there's like three guys that I've always wanted to be like, and three of those gentlemen, now they're all dead, so that's fun. They've all passed away, and they were all prolific writers, and they were all ugly men from Chicago, and I'm halfway there. I'm getting there, and it was Moik Royko, who is an amazing columnist. He wrote this book called Boss about Richard Daley, and he just tore him a new asshole, and I love that guy, and he passed away. And the other guy was Studs Terkel, and Studs Terkel did oral histories of pretty much everything. He had this great book called Working. That's how you might know him. And he was blacklisted because they thought he was a communist, but he was really just an atheist, and he went back down, and that's pretty cool. And the final guy is Roger Ebert. Roger Ebert was a great man, and I got to see a lot of movies with Roger Ebert because I'm from Chicago, and I was lucky enough to be the arts editor of my college newspaper for a year. And this was the last year that Roger Ebert could talk, so when I say talk, I mean like use his vocal cords. He sadly succumbed to like cancer, and he had his chin removed, and he had to use a computer at the end. But anyways, the point is, I got to see a few movies with Mr. Ebert, and I was afraid to talk to Mr. Ebert because he won a Pulitzer, and I was the editor of the DePaulia, and that's two different things. So the first time I saw a movie with Roger Ebert was, I don't know the name of the movie, but it was truly horrible. And it was about Charles Manson, and it was a really low-budget feature. And I brought my friend who was editor of the IIT newspaper, not ITT Tech, she's smart. And it was cool to go see a movie on there, but like I said, I was really nervous. So I used to sit center row, center aisle, middle. I thought that was always the best seat. And we get in there, and Roger Ebert's already there on the aisle because that was like his seat. And for the last like 8 years, I always sit in the back on an aisle because that's where he sat. So if he won a Pulitzer, if I sit there, I will obviously win a Pulitzer. So we saw the movie. It was truly awful. I didn't know what to do. This is at the screening room on Lake Street in Chicago, Illinois. And Esquire wrote a great piece about this, and I highly recommend it. And it's this small room, and you're just full of these amazing critics. And when I say amazing critics, I mean like they got paid to use their words to write about movies. That's amazing to me. I get paid to make slideshows about side boobs, and that's sexist of me. I work for Huffington Post. So that's like that's how our careers went. But it was I had to go back to class because I was still in school, and I could have stayed the entire time, but I waited until the end to like muster up the courage to talk to Mr. Ebert, but I didn't because his wife came by. And his wife, for those of you that know, her name is Chaz, Chaz Ebert now. And Chaz is a very, very smart lawyer. And then when Roger got very ill, she kind of had to quit. She didn't have to. She just loved the man. And she quit and kind of became his caretaker and then took over the Ebert Foundation. And she kept going with this like amazing film criticism thing. So what I noticed about Roger Ebert was he was dressed exactly how you'd see him at the movies, which is just like khakis and a sweater and a suit coat, because that's what you wear when you're a fat dude, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. She, on the other hand, was dressed very fabulously. She was dressed in a full pink velour jumpsuit. She is not the lightest of people. He is not the lightest of men. Together, like they're a pretty heavy couple. To me, that I'm always going to remember this because she brought him lunch and it smelled up the entire little screening room, and it was delightful, and they talked and they smelled and they were in love. And there's nothing funny about this. I know that. I'm sorry, but this is why I want this guy's life. I remember reading that shit movie review. I think he gave it like 1.5 stars. I pretty much gave it the exact same thing. And I always remembered what Chaz did for Roger Ebert. Roger Ebert was an alcoholic until 1979. After that, he cleaned up and he dated Oprah. And this is completely true. And then after that, he met Chaz. He met the love of his life, who is a very large woman, and she's an African-American woman. And Roger Ebert's from Urbana, Illinois, one of the whitest places in the country. And he found love in a hopeless place, ladies and gentlemen. And he was married to that woman until the day he died, and that was his only marriage. And I used to think like, oh man, I want to make this show like David Lynch. I want to get into meditation. I want to like expand the ideas of truth and beauty and be able to make like ultra violent stuff, but then have a sense of humor about it. And then I realized David Lynch is on his fourth marriage, and Roger Ebert was on one, and he has a Pulitzer, and David Lynch has three ex-wives. I don't want three ex-wives. I want to be in love with the same woman I am in love with now at 50. And I really want her to be incredibly overweight and wear a pink velour jumpsuit. And I think with this show, we can do that. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a fantastic show. It's actually funny. I have one of the funniest people in the city with Heywood Turnipseed Jr. Max is here. Aaron's here. Jen, the co-host, is here. Ladies and gentlemen, they came all the way from Los Angeles, California. We're all moving to New York very soon. We're so excited about this city. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for The Tonight Show with Brandon Weatherby, everybody. I would like to thank The Tonight Show with Brandon Weatherby for playing one of my favorite songs.
It's a good one.
Superman by Third Eye Blind, everybody. Superman by Third Eye Blind. Jen Tisdale, you are the co-host. How are you doing?
I'm surprisingly good.
We both sound horrible right now.
We are both sick with AIDS. Just riddled with the AIDS. It's okay, guys. That's curable now. They had that baby. Just eat the baby and you're cured.
I'd like to point out that I did a really heartfelt monologue about one of my idols,
yeah,
and you open with AIDS baby. Nice to see you.
You
again,
don't think
Jen.
That baby was heartfelt? Come on. Oh Jesus! Come on.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. You know me. I don't know. How open should I? I'm moving to DC.
Congratulations.
Officially.
That's fantastic.
I've been living with my mom. I'm 33. Thanks, Snow.
There's nothing wrong with living with your mom
at
33.
There's a little bit of something wrong with living at your mom at 33.
It's not so much living with your mom. Living with your mom at 33 isn't the problem. The decisions that led to you living with your mom at 33 are the problem.
Was that the 3 DUIs?
Okay, we'll talk about that.
So no, we don't have to talk about those guys.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So you're sick. What's wrong with you? Physically, what's wrong with you?
Oh, I'm like, that's such a blanket statement. So much, Brandon. I don't know. I just have a fucking cold, and I've had it for 2 weeks, which is why I made the AIDS joke, because every time I have a cold that's longer than a day, I'm like, oh, I've got AIDS.
Why do you think that?
I don't know, because in the 80s, that's how it worked.
Well, you are 33.
And that's where my mind lays all the time.
The 80s were a very important decade to you.
They were a really super important decade.
Your favorite films are from the 80s.
Back to the Future is the greatest movie ever made. I dare anyone here to say otherwise.
You just want to start a fight right now. That's fine.
I don't want to start a fight. That's irrefutable.
You performed on 8x8, which is a show that we do at the Looking Glass Lounge on Monday, and you did a fantastic set.
Thank you.
But it was somewhat interesting to watch because you've been covering these topics that if it was a not funny person would make the audience incredibly uncomfortable. But instead, you get laughs from doing it.
Yes.
Now, when you talk about things like getting 3 DUIs, how do you get a laugh from that?
What am I going to do my set right now?
Give us one of your jokes of your set. I would like to hear that.
It's not gonna work now because it's like not organic. I start off. I don't let everyone know that I have 3 DUIs, but I usually start out with I'm drinking for 2. And then everyone like says all predictably because they're fucking falling for it. And then I go DUIs. Fuck you guys. It usually works. It's not organic right now. It's weird. And then I go into the whole entire story of my arrest, which is a pretty good story. I had a very what are you doing behind me?
That's really quick. I'd like to point out that the drummer for The Tonight Show with Brandon Weatherby was going to do a rim shot. And that's the only reason why I wanted to bring this story up. So he would consistently put rim shots in your jail time.
I'm probably going to get a lot of rim shots in my jail time anyway.
Come on! Thank you! Jesus! Thank you.
You guys are the worst.
Yeah, we are. We're not going to jail.
They don't know. I have a weekend in jail next weekend. I'll be in jail next weekend. I'll be doing 5 sold-out shows in jail next weekend.
You're opening for Tim Allen.
Yep. I'm opening for everybody if it means I'll live.
Don't laugh, drummer. Do the rim shot. Jesus. That didn't work.
There's not going to be any rim shots because it's all ladies. So it's just going to be mostly, fuck you back there.
I think that
it's not even going to be that bad. They just, like, here's the worst part about it. Here's what I've been told is to expect from people that I know have been to jail because that's birds of a feather. You get in there and they were like, you strip naked. That's fine, I figured. And then you squat. And before this, the word squat was sort of okay to me. But now it's like you're squatting because the correctional officer wants to make sure you didn't bring anything in. I'm like, well, I have a couple pairs of shoes because I'll overpack. No, but that's what I'm worried about because like I have to do like seriously, like no one can see this on the listening, but one of these.
Imagine then, a baseball catcher.
And then they're just like, what's in there? And I'm like, nothing, I hope. I don't know. While you're back there. So that's it. Wear a sports bra because you're going to play a lot of sports. I don't know. And and you have to pay to watch three channels on TV. If not, you
sit. Wait.
You have to pay $25 to watch three channels, or you sit by yourself. And I'm like, obviously, I'm going to sit by myself and hate myself for 48 hours.
You get to watch TV in jail?
Three channels, yeah.
But the fact that you get to watch TV in jail seems pretty cool.
I get to watch.
What are you
going to
watch?
I get to watch TV outside of jail.
What are you going to watch, though? Not all of our listeners don't have TVs. A lot of our listeners don't have TVs by choice. So this is kind of a vacation.
I don't want to know any of those fucking hippies. I don't know. I'm going to watch whatever they... I'm assuming the three channels are People's Court.
Lock up.
Investigation Discovery. Yeah. And that fucking jail show. Yeah. It's just going to be... It's probably just us watching ourselves from like whatever cameras.
Just a feed of the monitor.
Yeah, just a feed of me looking at me. And if they knew me better, they'd know that's actually a treat because I'm a narcissist.
So you'll be back here.
Joke's on you, jail.
Next week you won't be at the show. Because,
no, because I'll be in jail.
Okay. But the week after that, in theory, you will not be in jail.
Yeah, there's always that panic that they're just kidding and they're not going to let me out. They're like, did we say a weekend? April Fools.
It is April, by the way.
You sons of bitches.
So hopefully you're out of jail by the 19th.
When I, you know, I got to pick the weekend I went in, by the way.
Oh, good.
And
that's
I picked
so nice.
Last weekend, and the judge goes, well, I don't know. I celebrate Easter. And I wanted to go, are you going to be there with me? I don't understand. What the fuck
so
was
that? So it's good that you're doing jokes with the judge.
I should have. Well, he was like, I don't want to see you here again. And I was like, oh, I can't promise anything.
Jesus Christ.
Because obviously this is my third, so I'm not a lesson learner. No, I've sold my car. Here's the thing. I know you guys are like, she shouldn't be drinking. That's not the problem. Whatever.
Well, that's a huge part of the problem.
No, the problem is that I
that's like half of the problem.
Yes, so then I took the other
half. The
other half
is putting it in your body.
No. The other half is the car. Like, I put alcohol in my system, and then I put my system into a car. So now I've just taken out the car, and I can put more alcohol in because there's no car and there's more room. Are you guys following this logic?
Yep.
Are you guys like, boy, she needs to go to a 12-step program?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
No, shh, I'm fine.
Okay.
Enough of this.
We'll bring up Haywood really quick, but I just want to point out that last night I did do the 12-step test.
Michigan whatever test? I've taken it so many times, and every time they're like, you're an alcoholic, and I'm like, you're crazy.
No, the AA test, the Michigan test. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Michigan, yeah. How many points did you get?
One.
Fuck you.
I got 1 point. I'm not an alcoholic.
I got so many points.
The only point I got on was, have you ever thought that your life would be better without alcohol?
Oh, that's true for every... If we had that test, we should read that test out loud. We should print that test out and make everybody in the audience
We'll do that on the 19th. Okay. We'll do that on the 19th. Come into the stage.
Everybody come back if you want to figure out if you're an alcoholic at this bar.
Coming to the stage is one of the funniest people in Washington, D.C., and we do a segment called Color Commentary. I'm not exactly sure why. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the very funny Mr. Haywood Turnipseed Jr.
Yeah.
Haywood, how are you? Now, the Tonight Show with Brandon Weatherby played that song because it's a Michael Jackson song.
It is.
And you're from Gary, Indiana. And your mother used to babysit for Michael Jackson.
She did.
Let's not talk about that again.
Okay.
Good. We've talked about that like every single show.
Because there's like a different story all the time.
Do you have another story this time?
Yeah.
Is it a true story?
Oh, no, you're lying.
This doesn't sound
Before
real.
We begin the official segment.
Jesus juice. Where do you think he got it from? My mother would be like, hey, bring me some more of that Jesus juice, kids.
Haywood does a show similar to what we do at the Looking Glass. We do 8x8, and Haywood has a variety show every single Wednesday night at the Blue Banana.
Yes.
For the listener at home, the Blue Banana is a horribly named sports bar, not a gay bar.
Not
because it's
gay
called
bar.
Blue Banana, and it should be a gay bar.
It's a gay bar for guys who don't get laid.
It's a gay bar for a lot of closeted guys.
That's a lot of gay you guys are talking about.
I just nailed it.
So what I'm saying is, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I finally came to your show on Wednesday night.
Yes, you did.
I highly recommend this. I highly, highly recommend this show. If you guys love both really good hip-hop and really horrible hip-hop that thinks it's really good hip-hop, you will love Haywood Show. I had a blast. I've never... It was so great. There's a comic that went up. He got heckled. He hated his life afterwards.
Oh, no, he got
heckled. People wanted to fight him.
They pulled the microphone out of his
hand. It was amazing!
Oh, it was hilarious. It was like the dude, he was on stage and he was talking a lot. And they were like, you know what? This isn't funny. Give me the microphone. And I'm the host of the show. And I was like, I didn't ask for the microphone. And they was like, this nigga's talking about too much dick.
He talked about a detachable penis. he didn't even realize there's a song called Detachable Penis from 20 years ago.
King Missile.
Not a dildo per se, but King, just something that you could have personally.
Quick fact, singer of King Missile is the brother of the guy from Cake.
Really?
Yeah, they're brothers.
Oh, boy, did he fallen.
The one band that brings both white people and black people together is the band Cake.
Yes, Cake is, and old people, because my mom loves
See?
Cake.
And that's what this segment is called, Color Commentary.
Now, what do you want to talk about this week, Haywood?
We just added some color to the commentary.
Yes, we did.
Cake, yes. I know. Cake.
The whitest of all desserts, Cake.
They actually did a song I like, though. They remade, what was that? I Will Survive?
I Will Survive, yeah. They did that song.
I dug
that
in a nice, really drugged out way.
Do you like drugs?
I like marijuana.
That's a drug.
No, it's not. It's a plant.
Nope, it's a drug.
The coca leaf is also
it is the
a
earth.
Plant.
Hey,
the
I'm not the one going to jail plant. Next weekend. How funny is that for this stage?
I know. Yes, we can, everybody. Yes,
Last
we can.
Last call for alcohol.
Do you think that Jen would be going to jail if
Mitt
Romney was president?
I actually need another beer.
Jen, if we had met before we got married, I'd be your Sid. You'd be my Nancy. We'd be doing some shrooms.
You're already married.
I said before I got married.
I do need another beer. I'm not kidding.
I'd have took Jen on the whole robbery spree. We'd have had a good time.
No, I still have a good time. You're just not there. You're like at home with your wife being totally fucking boring.
We had more than a week in jail. Like, we hadn't been doing
it's
like
just a weekend.
6 months
it's
at
just
least.
Like a little like staycation.
That is hilarious. I know guys that do that. You are like in a category with friends of mine that I never thought you would be. That is hilarious. Like, I'm going to jail
this
next weekend. Really, nigga? Really? What's up, nigga? How you doing?
Thank you. This is the first time you've ever caught me in.
No worries, Django. We'll keep it clear.
I've been to jail before. This is
for the listener at home and for a lot of people in the room, why do you say Django?
It didn't matter. It was sunny. That's all. All
right. What do you want to talk about this week?
We are talking about conservatism in the black community. For the gentrifier that goes to what we call urban arts events or
like
black hip hop.
Like
shows.
Me.
Yes.
I'm that guy.
You are that guy.
I'm a huge conservative.
He was like, yo, why did they take the microphone out of his hand? Because he was talking about dick in a room full of dicks. And that's not like hip hop ethic.
I thought hip hop ethic was going on a stage and doing horrible stand up for 5 minutes and not realizing it's horrible stand up for 5 minutes and then yelling at the women who are yelling at you.
Are we talking about Kevin Hart right now?
Ooh.
Take it back. Take it back now. Kevin Hart's our number one listener.
I'm probably not going to take it back.
He's our favorite podcast listener.
He's not going to jail next weekend. That's hilarious. No, because what the gentrifier doesn't understand, and by gentrifier I do mean white person who comes to a black neighborhood.
It's not in quotes. Hey, you mean white people
person? I'm not speaking for all black people.
Are you talking about people that show up and just make cupcake shops appear?
Well, not necessarily cupcake shops, but like who actually enjoy the ice rink in my neighborhood.
They're delicious.
There's an ice rink in my neighborhood where they used to sell cocaine. That is the most funniest.
Oh my
thing
god!
To me.
It used.
On ice. I love it.
Oh, I get it. Oh, that's cute.
We should go.
Clever.
Is the skating rink still open or is it closed for the season?
Is the cocaine still
that's
open?
Closed. Well, there's always conduit.
Almost.
Is that a... Continue. Black conservatism.
So the thing about, take the kid Ben Carson, right? The guy who was just saying a lot in the news. He said something. He said a lot. First of all, he's a neurosurgeon.
Yes.
And he doesn't speak for Black people in general, because of the religion, because of slavery, because of so much, have a lot of issues with a lot of things.
Okay.
Right? So as you guys come into the neighborhoods and find out that there are layers to black people, like they all aren't Obamas and they all aren't like Jesse Jacksons. You know, there are some like Jamel Johnsons and myself. There's just some niggas who just don't give a fuck.
Wait, really quick. Really quick.
Like,
it
doesn't
matter. Wait, really quick. Do you see all white people as Ronald Reagan and Mitt Romney then?
White people are just white.
So.
Like, I know you guys have layers, but here's the thing about white people, right? Like, I get to watch television, and I'll see, like, a white person on this show, and I'll see a white person on that show, and then I'll see, like, a black friend. See how real
so?
It got?
So?
Because like the black friend doesn't have layers.
You don't have any black friends, is what
no,
you're saying.
I have black friends.
Oh, okay.
You guys have one. And it's usually,
thank you for doing the show.
In the 80s, it was Alfonso
That's
Ribeiro.
That's not true. I have you and Jamel.
No, in the 80s, it was Alfonso Ribeiro.
Well, in the 80s, it was everybody's the black.
He was everyone.
Him and
Stoney,
you mean like Silver Spoon.
Stoney Jackson.
You mean Silver
Stoney
Spoon. Is there, are we going way back to Silver Spoons?
Yes.
Because he was Ricky Schroeder's friend.
All just right. Making an 80s reference.
So you're not a fan of Ben Carson?
No, I don't care one way or the other. He's a neurosurgeon. First of all, who asked a neurosurgeon what he thought about fucking politics?
Fair
he
enough.
Should be actually doing neurosurgery. This nigga shouldn't be thinking about shit else but how to fucking take a thought out of a brain and put it into another fucking brain. What does he... Who in the fuck asked him anything about, hey, what do you think about politics? Nigga, I work on brains. That should have been all Ben Carson said.
Do you think he says that to his friends?
That's what
yes.
He should say. Be like, yo, I'm a brain surgeon,
when
not
he goes
a thinker.
Home, when he goes home
that
and takes
it.
Off his scrubs.
Wait, I'm a brain surgeon, not a thinker?
Right, because you white people, you guys get confused when we have thoughts and
who
opinions.
Who should be thinking if it's not a brain surgeon?
Because like, cause he uses his hands. You know, niggas are good with using their hands. So that's all he should have ever did was like be a brain. Listen, I am for putting limitations on yourself as a black person. All we should really talk about is marijuana and white women. We should not talk about fucking politics.
Yeah.
We should not talk
are
about homosexuality.
Are you Ben Carson?
I would, and look, you know more about Snoop Lion than you know about Ben Carson. They are mad at Ben Carson.
Everyone knows more about Snoop Lion than we do know
but
Ben Carson.
This, there was a movie about Ben Carson starring one of white people's favorite actors, Cuba Gooding Jr., and now they want to crucify this nigga.
We do love
because
him.
He said too much about too much. And I'm like, white black people, that's enough. We got one president. Let's go back in our hole. Let's get the let's keep going to these colleges, finding these white girls who are upset at their fathers.
That's me.
Everyone
that's
in this
me.
Room is upset at their father.
That's fine. That's fine. And look, y'all keep bringing them to the show.
I would love to bring my dad to the show.
Dave Chappelle
said
a long time
him.
Ago. All we need to do is fucking play basketball and rap.
Wait,
like,
no,
you came
no,
to the
wait,
rap
wait,
show.
Wait, you can.
Listen, okay,
no, you
story.
Can play football.
This is what I love and football.
Thank
yep,
you.
We
I
can
was
catch.
Like, come on,
we can
I'm
catch.
Trying to branch
That's all we should
you
be allowed to do.
Catch.
That's all we should be allowed to do.
You can catch.
No more questions. No more oops, you drinking, spilling my drink.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was there.
I don't know. It seems like you need to go to jail next.
Blue Moon. I'm drinking Blue Moon. It's got a lot of hops.
Dario, could you put a Blue Moon on my tab for Haywood?
But yeah.
Really? I've been asking for a beer for like 5 minutes.
You have 3 DUIs.
I don't care. I'm not driving tonight.
That's called contributing.
Somebody
we're going to perform
bring
an intervention.
Me a beer.
On you
I'm fine.
Haywood, continue.
So, my whole point with the Ben Carson thing is like, listen, that's like you like Obama. He don't say shit. And that's why white people love him. He don't say shit about shit. He's like, "Yeah, I really
That's not true.
It could be cool." It could be cool. He's like okay, like somebody asked me the other day, like I don't speak for all black people. Number one, I just speak for Haywood Turner C. Jr. Let's
I never said you speak for all black people.
No, because like somebody would be like, "Yo, niggas really think like that." No, they don't. Haywood thinks like this, which is where somebody would be like, "Never give him a microphone again." Somebody asked me the other day, "What do I think about homosexual people?" And I was like, "You might as well ask me about The Fuck of Color Purple."
Oh, that's a good movie. That's a good movie.
No, I'm not
Academy
watching.
Academy Award winning movie.
I could give
were
a
you
shit.
Like gay people?
That's
They're
why,
a good
I'm
movie.
Not watching The Color Purple. I'm talking to you.
What if you were watching The Color Purple?
I
gay people
be.
Starring Oprah Winfrey.
Movie.
So you hate gay people if it's the same in The Color Purple?
No,
you?
I know. I hate that movie. I like the gay. Here's the thing about gay people. I don't care.
That's the right answer.
I just don't care. That's what people be like, yo, you really don't. I don't give two fucks.
That's the only time you're ever gonna get applauded for just not giving a fucking shit
like,
about
I don't,
something.
Like, why do you even?
Congratulations.
Care?
I don't give a fuck.
I got an uncle named Peaches. I do. Like,
you know what? No,
I mean,
offense,
he came out of the
no
closet.
Offense or anything, but of course.
No,
you
no,
do.
Like I got an uncle named Peaches.
Of course you do. No,
and he
of
came out of the
do.
Closet, and I was like, Uncle Peaches, you're really not coming out of the
like,
closet.
You're like, it's weird that I didn't know you were gay. Your name is Peaches.
No, I'm
wait.
Just saying,
Jen stepped over that joke. Go
I said
ahead.
No. My point, well, my Uncle Peaches is he really wasn't coming out of the closet. He was just coming off the shelf. We already knew he was gay.
That's right.
And it's like it was cool with everybody.
That was a really good canning joke.
It was good because like you can be gay in the black. See, people think like it's all about bravado. Like I had gay friends growing up, like Terry. Right? Terry's a girl now. Terry's on Facebook. And you know why nobody fuck with Terry? Because Terry will whoop your motherfucking ass. And Terry had all the girls.
Oh, come on. That was perfect.
Wait, are there any TED Talks with house bands?
There should be TED Talks
oh,
about
God,
black
we're
people
starting that.
Not speaking in public.
I think there are like that's half the TED Talks.
That's it.
Are you okay? You have such anger this week.
I don't have anger. I was speaking forcefully so I could incite the crowd.
It didn't work.
They like some of the stuff.
They like some of the stuff. They but like you were saying about me at the hip hop show.
No, I'm saying you at the hip hop show. You were very cool, man. You knew how to hang out. You chill. You was like everybody.
How do we know how to hang out? I well, stood like, there like and watched
white,
people.
Like, you have like some white liberals and they want to offer a scholarship.
If any white liberals want to offer us a scholarship,
like, hey man, I can help you, man. And this dude is like really get the fuck out of my face about his weed. I'm selling.
Speaking of weed, lots of weed there.
Yes,
there was a lot of weed. It was awesome.
It's a hip hop show in a black neighborhood. What do you expect? Weed is that is why it's not a riot.
You have within one single appearance on the show, you said the most racist things in the smallest amount of time, and for that I am proud to say that you're a part of the show. You're part of our family.
And that's
Heywood.
How we have color commentary.
That's perfect. You're on Facebook under the name Woody Seed.
No, that's on Twitter.
No, Twitter.
Don't be laughing at my Twitter handle.
Woody Seed?
That is hilarious. Woody Seed. That's my name. Heywood Turner.
My favorite Twitter handle is my friend Kevin Lee. His Twitter handle is 420Obama69.
Yes,
yes. So check him out at 420Obama69. No, Bin Laden 69. Sorry. 420 Bin Laden 69.
That is even more
Well, you
hilarious.
Know, you get them mixed up all the time.
We do get them mixed up. Who Obamacare. Now,
Obama Bin Laden. I don't know.
Do you have any plugs?
I do have plugs. I have electricity.
That's nice.
Oh, come on. We're better than that.
Boom, bada, boom, boom.
Dun, dun.
So, I have shows coming up. Oh, Monday I'll be in Baltimore area.
Where are you going to be in Baltimore?
Fishhead Katina, hanging out with a couple cats out there doing some jokes.
Wait, you're going, this is really a place called the Fishhead
Katina? Fishhead Katina.
It's a shitty place.
It is, man. It's a Baltimore bar venue. It's cool, man. Cool comedy.
That's good.
Good folks. Of course, every Wednesday we at Blue Banana. Always. Find me on Reverb Nation under Heywood Turner Jr. You'll see a list of the shows.
One actual final real question. Up. What advice do you have for the people that go to your Wednesday night showcase if they want to perform? Like, what should they be prepared to do?
Just be prepared to have fun, really. It's a really good audience. It's a really open audience. It's an engaging
it's
audience.
It's not an open audience in the least.
No, they're just black and you're afraid.
No, they. No, I wanted to go up.
Because it's after midnight and he's like, man, I got to get going. I'm like, I know. Ain't no metro.
I was very afraid to walk home.
No, it was cool. You caught a cab.
No, I didn't.
Yes, that black guy helped you.
It was so nice that one black guy.
It was
me.
Nice.
It was
yeah.
so
He's
nice.
He's always there.
No, I love. Here's the thing. Here's
no, it's
the,
good. Have a
here's
good time.
The
That's
why
what we expect.
I liked your show is because the crowd was giving the performer shit. It was yeah. awesome.
Well,
I
when it sucks, it sucks, man.
Yeah, I know. And they just wouldn't like acknowledge it.
That's what's yeah. You know what? That's what's missing from a lot of stuff. Like people are afraid to tell people. Okay, like here's the difference between like okay, real difference between black people and white people. I'll go to a white strip club and. White people clap every time somebody gets off. Every time.
Really?
Yes. That don't happen to black strip clubs.
Why are white people clapping
at
strip clubs?
I mean, white people
clubs?
Are so nice.
Are they confused of why they're there?
Yeah, white people are so... I love the niceness of white people, but you guys are so frightening at the same time.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad that I'm threatening you.
Well, why not? Like I'm never afraid of like a black guy. Like, because like a guy like myself, he'll just pull me out of my car, right? Like a
of
white
course, yes. A guy like you would, of course, just pull
me. I'm just saying, like, if you want to be like afraid of a guy like me. Like, a guy who looks like me, he would just pull me out of my car. You know, a guy who looks like you would pull me out of my country.
Oh, thank you so much. The fact that you think I have enough power to do that really makes me feel conservative
well,
and powerful.
No, not
and thank
you.
You.
Just that was an Illuminati joke.
Oh, I thought I was doing a good Mitt Romney. I don't feel good, man.
Garlic.
Yeah, I think I need more garlic.
Garlic.
You're an inspiration to both
garlic.
Me and the white community.
Oh, man.
You're my favorite white comic, Heywood.
Oh, wow.
Especially what you said tonight. You're definitely my favorite white comic.
Amandala.
I would like to thank The Tonight Show with Brandon Weatherby for playing Cake and then transitioning into Wipeout, I think. It was Wipeout. Hey, really quick, before I bring on Max, my friend Trace is here. Trace is amazing. No, this is not a joke. You should watch him every day. He's posting stuff for Discovery News. And it's if you want a good time oyster and learn about science and not feel like a real nerd, watch him. It's every day on Discovery News. It's not a joke. Trace, he's an awesome dude. Talk to him after the show. He's way too nice. I'll probably buy you a drink. Coming to the stage is a new friend of ours. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the very funny Mr. Max Rosenblum, everybody.
Well, that's the perfect introduction for me. Fits my lifestyle. How you guys doing tonight? Wonderland? Fair. All right. It's just another normal Friday. I've been learning lately that I have a very distinctive look. And I know that because people often will be coming up to me and telling me what celebrities I look like. You know, like what famous people. But I lately starting to get sick of this because it's never anyone cool anymore. You know, like no one ever comes up to me and is like, you look like Brad Pitt or Frederick Douglass or whatever. Like it doesn't matter. I was actually told the other day, Max, you look like Clark Kent. A closeted gay anorexic Clark Kent. And I was like, fair point, Dad, but that's how genetics works. You did that to me. I've also been told that I look like, you guys want to guess, Waldo? Yeah, you guys got it? Maybe. But the most annoying part about looking like Waldo is that people really love telling you you look like Waldo. Like, I was at a party recently, and a guy came up to me. He's like, hey, Waldo, I found you. So I was like, yeah, and... You guys, it was a Halloween party. I was dressed as Waldo. I didn't really have a leg to stand on. Thank you. That was tough to get through that one. So the trouble in the last name is due to my Judaism. But I'm not that religious. But do you guys know what religion I hate the most, though? Yours. Whatever religion you are, like, I don't really care because it's frustrating, right, when you get like approached on the street by other people wanting to tell you about their religion, like you're just going to change your mind right there on the spot. You know, like, sir, have you accepted Jesus into your life? Well, not yet. I'm intrigued. Go on. Like, I was approached by my house recently, actually, by a guy. He came up to me and he's like, sir, do you have a couple minutes for Jesus? I was like, well, what's wrong with him? He's like, no, sir, I'm just getting the feeling that you've yet to find yourself. And I'm like, maybe you could help me out. And I open up my Waldo book and start flipping through the pages there. I mean, like, I'm starting to finally, like, though, come to terms with my Judaism in my everyday life. Like, for instance, now I wake up every morning and I'm like, fuck, we're doing this again? All right. And then I eat a bagel, count my money, and walk out the door. It's never a lot of money, though. It is just enough to control the media, because that's what we do. I do feel like I'm not living up to my parents' expectations for me as a Jew, like, because I don't complain enough. Like, I complain about some things. For instance, I really hate misogyny. That's right. Well, not misogyny itself. I just hate spelling it. It's fucking ridiculous. There are too many Y's. It's a lot like an annoying girlfriend. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. So I talked about the media a little bit. I read the news a lot because I don't have a TV, but I think that the news got a little out of control recently, how much they covered this new pope thing. Like, that was fine. Like, I'm not mad that there's a new pope, but I don't think there's a lot of change. You know, it's like it's just another old guy taking over for the previous old guy. Like, nothing's really changing, but they're, like, playing it up really big on the news. You know, it's like the NFL draft. They got, like, live coverage. You know, like, the guy gets on. He's, like, with the only pick in the 2013 papal draft. The Vatican goes with Francis I out of Argentina, and then the color commentator comes on. He's like, surprise move, Chuck. But he did pray a 4-2-40 at the combines. The way he executes a Hail Mary play. Are you guys appreciating these puns? I think the media got a little out of control because, like, this is what they said about the pope that, like, separated him from previous popes. They said it was his humility. Like, he's really humble. Like what? Like he's the fucking pope. Like, I'd be really concerned if there was, like, a pope walking around. Like, yeah, bitch, I'm the pope. Like, suck my dick. Like, not you. You're a lady. Young man. Like, of course he's humble. Like, you've got to be a little humble to just give up pussy for a lifetime. Like, I'll tell you what he doesn't give up, though, that awesome shower head. No, he keeps that. And he's got to have, like, the nicest silk robes. Like, how do you not just get, like, a little bit of a chub? Like, just... making you guys feel uncomfortable. I like to joke about religion. I also like to joke about race. Like, everyone has like, that like, those 2 or 10 racist friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that just... You know they're racist because instead of just talking about race, they instead whisper other people's races in conversation. Like, you ever overheard somebody just like, yeah, so I have a buddy from college. He's black. And he's really cool and he DJs on the weekends. You ever overheard that? You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, I heard this, actually, I heard someone say something like this recently, but it's a little bit different. I overheard a coworker of mine. He was like, so I have this neighbor. He's Jewish. And he was really good with money. He does my taxes. And as a Jew, I was initially like, no, that's really offensive. You can't do that. But then I thought about it. And then my next reaction was, all right, move over, black people. We're the new whisper word. I'll take that. I don't know why I was mad at this guy, though, because he was Asian. And... in that case, I don't know why he needed help with his taxes. That doesn't make any sense. I'm going to leave you guys with this. I watched the movie Zero Dark Thirty recently. Did any of you guys see this? Doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to backtrack a little bit and say that I like the movie. It was good. And I think that we're going to look back like 50 years from now. It's gonna be monumental in film history because it's going to tell the story about how we caught Osama bin Laden. But really, the only thing that I took out of this movie, right, is that if you like string up a terrorist like by his limbs and then you like waterboard him and then you blast Metallica in his face for 48 hours and then you put him in a small box and then you ask him where bin Laden is, he won't tell you anything. But if after all of that you hand him a falafel... he will tell you where that motherfucker sleeps. Are you shitting me? Like, this is an amazing, like, tactic, and I don't know why we don't use it more in real life. Like, who here is in a relationship? I'm looking at you guys. You don't want to admit it. Are you guys together? Okay, they don't know each other. That's fine. Let's call them Jim and Stacy. Like, for instance, like, what if Stacy, like, went up to Jim and is like, Jim, like, what celebrity do you want to have sex with the most? And Jim's like, okay, I'm not going to tell you anything. Like, you're just going to get jealous. And then she, like, makes him, like, watch Bridget Jones' Diary, right? Nags him for, like, 48 straight hours, makes him go shopping for tampons, then comes back and is like, Jim, I'm going to ask you again. What celebrity would you most want to have sex with? And he's like, I told you, I'm not going to say anything. And then she starts blowing him and he's like, Macaulay Culkin. And I think using this tactic, you can learn a lot about people, is what I'm trying to say. Thank you, guys. My name is Max Rosenblum.
Max, bring the mic. Thank you, Max. Very good. Thank you. Oh, that's so bad. You're playing horrible guitar. Do it again. Do it the right way. Jesus, you know like 30 pumpkin songs. You just had to do that one? Just then play some. Thank you for playing actual pumpkin songs tonight's show with Brandon Weatherby. Jesus Christ. We have a special guest, our last guest of the evening before the musicians do their thing. It's a real big get for us. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Pope Francis the First, everybody. Pope Francis, play him on! Pope Francis, you made it.
Hi.
Hi, Pope Francis. How are you?
Hi, it's me, Pope Francis. I'm from Argentina. I'm the first Latin Pope. It's a big honor for me to be on your podcast. It's like one of the best podcasts that I ever heard. And I want to come and talk the gospel of Jesus. And I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. So, your new Pope...
I'm a new Pope. It's a great honor to be the new Pope. The last pope, Pope Benedict, he's a quitter, but the pope before that is a pope, Papa John Paul II. He make a good pizza pie, right? All right. That's a joke. That's a joke that I'm just trying to work out. All right, okay.
So, wait, you're trying out new jokes. Why are you trying out new jokes, Pope Francis?
Well, you know, I'm trying to connect with the youth because the last couple popes say, like, don't wear a condom. Like, come here, suck my dick. Like, all these different... And I'm trying to be, like, the cool new pope, you know?
Yeah,
I'm trying to make my my gospel, like, more, like, for the youth. And it's a very exciting thing to do. It's very exciting. You know, people say to me, they say, you have too high a voice. Like, you never be the new pope. Your voice is so high. Like, you don't get your pinga sucked by Los Niños, you know? You never be the pope. You never make it in this game. But, you know, I say to my best friend, Cardinal Manu Ginobili, I say, I'm gonna make it, man. I'm gonna make it, bro.
And you did, and now you're the Pope.
And now I'm here, now I'm the Pope. I'm fucking excited to do this shit. I'm washing bitches' feet and shit. I'm really into feet. I'm not into Los Niños, but I'm into those feet. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Hey, Brandon.
Yes, Pope Francis.
I wanna try to do a new to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the God. I mean our God. Everyone's God.
Yeah.
Can I please practice?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So can I get a round of applause? Thank you. This is a story about Jesus. Okay. Jesus was walking con his amigos, John and Paul and Ringo and Tito and Demetrius. And a man stopped them and he say, oh yeah, Jesus, there's an island of leopards. John don't want to go there, say... Juan de Baptista. That sounds muy dangeroso, ese. The leper's gonna eat our face, man. Jesus turned to him. He said, John, you fucking douchebag. He's not talking about leopards. He's talking about lepers. Their fingers are all fucked up and shit. And their pingas are falling off their bodies. And shit is all fucking gross. So Jesus is like, all right, let's go to the island of lepers. So they get to the island of lepers, and their shit's all fucked up and shit. They're all like, Jesus, we're so sick, bro. My pinga keeps falling off my body. I have to Velcro it every time it fall off. I Velcro it back on, but the Velcro's getting a little bit weaker. You know what I'm talking about? So Jesus picked up the leper's penis off the ground and he give it to him. Here, man, I want to give you something. It's something my Padre, God, gave me. It's a Doritos Locos Taco. It's the best fucking food in the whole wide world. If you eat it, you will have the power of God inside your body and inside your pinga again. And then everyone was healed. Thank you. So that's just basically like the kind of thing that I do. Like, it's like a people pleaser, but I'm like very happy about it. I'm the first Argentinian Pope, my best
I
friend, Cardinal Manu Ginobili.
I like.
No, but real talk, Tiago Splitter, a bitch, for real. Brazil, man. It's weird. Yeah. I don't fuck with that.
Pope Francis, are you getting paid by Taco Bell and Doritos?
You know, there's a lot of suffering around the world. Like, there's people that can't eat, and there's people that can't feed their children. And I get so sad. And sometimes I think that people just need to start a revolution. The Doritos Locos Tacos Revolution at Taco Bell.
I think you're getting paid. I think you have a corporate sponsor.
There's a new type of Dorito in town, and it's Doritos Locos Tacos Doritos. Hey, man, do you like Doritos Locos Tacos? It's tacos con a shell made out of Doritos. Well, we made a Dorito that's the flavor of the taco with the shell made out of Doritos. It's a flavor sensation.
I don't think a lot of your parishioners are going to be very happy that the Pope has corporate sponsorship.
What is a parishioner? What are you talking about?
They'll have to donate less.
Is this your best friend?
It's my best friend.
Okay. My best friend, Cardinal Banuchinov. He my best friend. You know something about that people don't appreciate?
What's that, Pope?
About Jesus? What people don't appreciate about him is his body, okay? Jesus have a fantastic body. In all the crosses, he looks so weak and bloody. But in reality, he have
a great pec. How does he look on the cross?
Bloody.
Okay.
But in reality, he have like a great pec. He have like a six-pack ab.
He did have a six-pack.
No one realized like how like fuckable Jesus is. That's why we eat the cracker in the communion, because he has such a great body. And when I'm eating a cracker in my parish, we're eating Doritos Locos Tacos Doritos. It's the body of Christ inside of a Dorito.
Well, I think you're going to have a lot of new followers, and I think you're doing a great thing, Pope.
You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram. You can follow me on to my house. I live in Vatican City. You know where I live. I'm wearing a dress right now. Isn't that ridiculous? Right? Okay, good night. I'm the Pope.
Pope Francis the First, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Black Hills, everybody.